small-scale market gardening has probably been seen as a sunset industry in recent decades. Larger growers have taken over smaller ones, things have become mechanised. But is the tide turning, and are family-based market gardeners on the comeback? Well, Susan Murray caught up with some growers in Waikato.
These models are everywhere. Like, we're copying other people in New Zealand. You know, there's loads of others in New Plymouth, and Hamilton has a few. They're around. The locality and the localism of our food is the best part of it. You know, we want to be able to supply our own community before we're putting it on a truck and it's going to Pack and Save or something.
So that's Eddie Robinson, who owns just over 3 hectares of land near Raglan, a seaside town west of Hamilton. And there's Annie Rose, who's there as a woofer with her husband, Nick.
We just decided that life is too precious and there's an unknown future in the wake of climate change, and we want to be resilient and be ready for that, support our family in that, yeah, and that led us to growing. Yes, with that, it's a no-brainer for us,
yes,
really.
Three beds, one for the master.
There's also Kalani, Havana, and Kylie
and
Robinson living here.
So busy life, Kylie.
Yeah.
A 3-year-old and a 4-year-old and a full-time business.
Yeah, and a husband that works part-time still also. Yep, good times though. We'd hate to be bored.
And on Soul Food Farm, I think there's little chance of that.
Soul Food Farm.
Great name.
Yeah, thanks.
Tell me about it.
Eddie came up with that.
Yeah,
we just wanted something kind of sounding really organic and what we were about, and it was, yeah, about soul food and having stuff that was good for your body. And
we just want to give to the community as well, you know, so we sort of thought showing a bit of soul to everyone else and, you know, a bit of love to everyone around in the community and stuff would be good, and I don't know, it just seemed to flow well.
When you were growing up, what did you think you were going to be doing as a big person?
Not this. Not this at all. Yeah, I was busy having babies and Eddie was busy kind of going down this rabbit hole of learning about market gardens, and just one day came to me and said, let's start one.
Yeah, because what were your dreams growing up?
I was going to be a rugby player. That was it. I went to university. I was going to be a teacher, but I went overseas playing rugby and did that for a little bit and had a big injury, and that was the end of that. And then there was a whole what do we do now sort of thing, and travelled to Europe and spent a long time living over there and learned to chef and did the chefing thing, super yachts and ski chalets and stuff. And yeah, I've always been quite anchored in food, and yeah, it's an odd thing. It really is an odd thing to be living off the land as such, you know. Like, I'm not from a farming family either, and to end up now on our own piece of land really having a crack at it, but in a different way.
Yeah.
It's not conventional, it's different, you know, and I think anyone can do it. When we first started growing things, we wanted to be able to grow stuff. I served in luxury lodges and stuff. But you don't get that at a supermarket, you know. You have to grow it yourself or pay a lot for it, and so we built a rough greenhouse, and that's how we got the idea, really.
I mean, it was just really, really little scale, eh? So we just kind of grew stuff that we love to eat, but that kind of slowly turned when we did it commercially, because we soon realised that not everybody wants the weird stuff that don't really know what it is, or they kind of want to see the stuff that you see on a supermarket shelf, so... Yeah.
I have to balance it.
If you want to make money,
yeah,
you've
got
to
put the chef to one side and tell people what they want. People are getting better at buying seasonally, but it's still easy at a supermarket to get a tomato in the middle of winter, so it's just about changing perceptions and changing attitudes towards seasonality. And we want people to know what you should be eating at a certain time of the year, because you literally cannot grow some things. And that's sort of what we're trying to do. I've come from between chefing and now I've been a commercial dairy farmer, so it's the other end of the spectrum, you know. We couldn't be any further removed from that right now. But now we have, because the market garden's a small part of where we see this being. Like, we see it much more as a regenerative, small-scale farm, really diversified. So we have calves here that are just for ourselves, but they're going to be part of a bigger system with pastured hens and with Christmas trees, with the market garden, with the Airbnb. It creates a diversified small-scale farm where you can generate proper income.
Yeah, so, and you do, or will be?
Hope to be. Not right
we
now.
We hope so. We're in too deep now to not. Yeah, I mean, we're definitely still in the building phases of the business. That's the dream. We'd really love that this is all our profit to support our family comes from this bit of land.
The larger farms, you know, that just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger, doesn't have to be that way. You just take on more debt, you take on more stress, and everything's harder. By going smaller and just having a number of different income streams, you can create a good life. It can be done.
And it's about growing smarter, isn't it? A lot of small-scale market gardens that we follow overseas, a few of them are kind of downsizing.
Each year getting a little bit better, a little bit better, but you don't have to keep that land size the same. Like a lot of the best market gardeners, especially in the States, are getting smaller every year, but their profits are getting higher because they just get better. I think in New Zealand, especially from conventional ag, the theory has been you've got to go big and you've got to keep getting big. And you can see that in dairy all across the country. They're huge, but it doesn't have to be that way.
You've got people helping you, haven't you?
Yes.
A little bit. Where have they run away to?
I think they're watching our kids for us right now. so they're a really cool young couple that have been with us, and they are really interested in doing what we do for themselves one day. Wanted a bit of an internship to, you know, get some hands-on experience. You can go and read as many books as you like, but until you're doing it, you know, and seeing how it works day to day, and
very different.
We were worried it might put them off seeing what it actually takes to run a business.
So you're here learning, are you?
Yes, this is our last stop after a year of woofing, which is working on organic farms.
Yeah, and around New Zealand.
Around New Zealand, all around New Zealand, and yeah, now we're going to start our own thing in Taupo.
Wow.
Hopefully, one day.
Watch the space.
No, not hopefully, we are.
You are.
Yeah.
So you'll buy some land, or you have some land there, or?
We don't have any land, and we're hoping one day that we'll buy land, but we'll probably have to lease, to begin with.
So if anyone has got land in Taupo.
Oh, yeah, if anyone has
Danny Rose at
half an acre to an acre of flat land in Taupo with all day sun.
I was going to say, it is a bit colder
there.
Water
supply.
And water. Find me on Facebook.
Because that will be quite a challenge, won't it? Growing what crops, there'll be a huge difference, won't there, temperature wise?
There is a huge difference. We have a lot more frost than the coastal areas, but we'll just need infrastructure straight away.
Yeah, so lots of tunnels and stuff come into play.
Bigger startup cost maybe than if you were by the coast, but that's all right. It'll all be worth it because no one's growing there. And
the two of you aim to do that.
We do, yeah. Small scale, but still produce a lot
and a wide range of different crops.
Yep.
And were you always keen to do this as a job? Like, what's your background?
I studied fashion up in Auckland, and then I met my husband, and we were both managing retail and hospitality outlets, and then we just decided that life is too precious, and you know that there's an unknown future in the wake of climate change, and we want to be resilient and be ready for that and also support our family in that. So yeah, and that led us to growing. We thought it's a no-brainer for us, really. Yeah.
And are you from any rural background at all?
Not at all. No, not at all. This is all new to me. But no, we both, like, as the older we get, that we realize what's really important in life, and that's family and food. Yeah. So,
and how old are you?
I'm 24.
And your husband is?
28, I think, or 29. Something like that. I think, I'm 25.
You're 25.
No, I'm 25.
You had your birthday here not
long ago. I'm 25 and he's 28. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a generational thing, the way I think that, like, it's known as a job in my generation now. So I think maybe, like, all the market gardeners I know of are kind of your age and older.
Yeah.
But now there's, like, a new wave coming.
There is.
They're all young like us, you mean?
Yeah.
I was going to say, what was this older bit?
10 years older.
Yeah. But I mean, I think too, like, you know, I look back at my school peers, and not a lot of us were kind of, you know, aware of much, you know, to do with the environment and all that kind of thing. And I think just in the last generation, it's really changed, and people are getting, you know, passionate, and, you know, school leavers are, you know, way more educated on things like that than we ever would be. So I think it's cool to kind of see it coming through younger and younger, and people getting passionate about growing earlier. Slowly it's kind of coming back to the idea of, you know, what our grandparents were doing
It's not that different what we do to what they did. It's just a few tweaks here and there. It's a little bigger.
Yeah.
But the idea is the freshest stuff every day. And, you know, the freshest stuff you can get. And I think we've missed a few generations of supermarkets and how it's all gone. And that's fine, but I just think it's rotating back around, you know. Like, everyone wants their stuff quick and they want it fresh. And that's what this market gardening movement's all about, is freshness. It's the one thing that they can never take from you in a supermarket. They can never compete. The supply chain just won't let that happen. It's as simple as that.
And people want to know where their food comes from more as well.
As a younger voice, you know, the 25-year-old, is this all true, that you're seeing that with your friends?
There is a knowledge there, but it's definitely, you definitely have to be in the circle, I think. But Instagram played a big role in us for finding out what market gardening is. And, like, we found these guys through Facebook and Instagram. So, yeah, social media must have a big role to play, I think. Mm.
So when can we visit you in Taupo and see that you've got your market garden up and running?
There you go. Put a date on it.
Oh, we'll be totally up and running and producing in 2 years.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah.
And do people pay more for your product?
Yep. Yeah, we're definitely a higher price point than the supermarket. We also use home compostable packaging, which costs us a lot more than your regular plastic bag. So those little things that, you know, there's quite high costs in some of the things that we do.
And how big was the move then to go from growing what you liked growing for yourselves on lease land to what? Do you own this plot here?
Yeah. We do own this, and just the succession of it all. You can't miss weeks now. Like, whereas before we were smaller scale and sometimes we had things, sometimes we didn't. Now that's not really cutting it. We have to have it every week, and we've got to be consistent, or else people will get it from a supermarket.
Mm.
And we're trying to be that supermarket so that people can get from us every week the freshest produce you can get. You know, we harvest the day before and they're getting it the next day. You're never going to get that in a supermarket. I don't care where you live.
We're still learning along
the
way.
Half the stuff we grow now, I'm growing it for the first time. I've never grown it before. There's stuff right in the garden now that I've never grown before.
Let's have a look. Oop.
There's actually right here. We've just put the greenhouse on top of Wawa cabbage, which is like Asian cabbage. And it's cabbages and bok choys I've never grown before, ever, this first lot. And we're selling it as we're growing it and trying to figure it all out at the same time. But
we like to wing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds quite daunting, actually.
Yeah, it's a little bit. You try not to think too hard about it, or you'll get too nervous.
No, we're in it for the long haul now.
How do you ever get away?
We don't.
We don't.
No, we actually just had our first 4 days away in 3 years, and it was amazing. But, I mean, when we jumped into it, we knew it was going to be, you know, we weren't going to get a trip away, and our summer holidays are kind of no longer. Yeah, I mean, we live in paradise, right? So
yeah, I'm a little biased. I surf, I fish, you know, and living here means that I can do those things even when I'm still working.
Yeah.
So it's a good trade-off.
Kylie and Eddie Robinson from Soul Food. And you also heard from Annie Rose Gibson.